back for episode 11 of the podcast, fully into double digits now. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Sarah.
And we're the Travelling Two.
And this recording might sound a bit weird for you, but it might be very echoey because we're currently in Gilligan's in Cairns, which is a hostel, and they don't have any rooms for us to record in, so we're currently recording in a massive lounge area.
Yeah, like a TV lounge area, but
that's quite quiet.
Fairly quiet.
We might get some stragglers
hearing us record this.
Who knows?
Yeah. We're back in the real world.
We're travelling again.
We were let out.
And we're not going insane anymore. We have regained our sanity.
Yeah.
So if anyone was concerned about our episode last week, we're okay now.
We're much better. We made it out of Townsville alive.
Yeah.
And we finally got to Cairns. Finally got to do all the plans that we were meant to do a week prior.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to just do one of our normal episodes. So let's get into it.
So last week, as soon as we got out of isolation, woke up bright and early, first thing we went to was Magnetic Island, which we had been saying we were going to go to all week.
I think everyone knows this.
Hoping for a bright blue day, which it was.
Mm, it was a gorgeous day.
Really lucky with the weather, thankfully.
So there's two ways of getting to Magnetic Island. You can get the ferry.
You have to get a ferry.
Yeah, okay. There's one
way. How else? Fly?
There's one way of getting to Magnetic Island. By a ferry, but there's two different ferries that you can get, one that has vehicle access and one that's only for passengers.
I get you.
So if you get the vehicle one, it's $220 to get across, which is very spenny.
Yeah. And you don't need it.
No, like, as in, like, you can go
across on foot and it's fine.
Yeah, like, you can go around the whole island with your vehicle, which would have been like good because it is a big island and there's a lot to see, but we decided to just do the day ferry because it's cheaper. So it was like $30
each. Yeah, I think so.
Return, and then we got a bus around and that was like $7.
Yeah,
like so much cheaper and so
and
easy.
Worked absolutely fine. And we just parked the van right by the ferry terminal car park and it was fine.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we stopped at three different places on the bus route. We stopped at
Forts Track first.
Oh yeah, that was a koala bushwalk. Basically just have to try and spot koala in
completely
the trees.
Completely in the wild. We managed to spot three. I spotted two and Sarah spotted one.
Hannah wanted a little competition because
everything's in life is a competition.
Yeah, I love a competition, but you beat me fair and square.
Yeah, so yeah, you just like, as you're walking, you just have to really like try really hard to see if you can see them in the trees, like otherwise you just completely miss them.
Yeah, and it was like a boiling day, like so warm. Mm-hmm. After that we went to Horseshoe Bay.
Yeah, really nice.
That was really nice. We literally just chilled on the beach. They have like stinger nets so that you can still swim in the sea without having...
Actually, I didn't know that they were a thing.
Yeah, before. That's something we've learned.
That was where we learned it, I think, because we thought from Agnes Waters we couldn't swim, but then actually you could swim in Horseshoe Bay because of this like little area where they put stinger nets all around.
Yeah, and then we also went to Alma Bay, which is supposed to be like really clear water. That was really nice as well. And then we finished at Picnic Bay.
Yeah.
Which, again, just a nice bay. Probably the least nicest out of the three, but still worth a stop.
Yeah, we just wandered around for a little bit, but, like, it wasn't particularly anything Picnic Bay, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
And we went back to Nellie Bay, and we got the ferry back at, like, 6 p.m. at, like, sunset. And sunset that night, we were really lucky. It was just, like, so gorgeous.
Yeah, it was so pretty, like so orange, and like all the colours were there.
Yeah, all the colours were there.
Yeah, so we had like a full on day because we got the 9 a.m. ferry and got the 6 p.m. ferry back.
Yeah, and went straight to Domino's.
Yeah. So what was your rating for Magnetic Island?
I gave Magnetic Island a 7. Now I'm thinking, actually, each place individually that we visited, so I don't know if I was going to rate them. I could rate each of them differently. But what bumps it up probably would be the sunset.
I think that Magnetic Island as a whole, I gave it an 8 out of 10.
An 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I just changed that this second from 9 to 8. Because I thought 9 is very high, actually.
9's really high.
I think I just felt that it was really, really good because it was our first day out of isolation.
Yeah. And we were so in very, very high spirits that day. Nothing could burst out after being out of isolation.
But yeah, it was really beautiful. But each individual place probably wouldn't be as nice as some of the other places we've been to, but like as a whole.
Like I liked Horseshoe Bay and Ulma Bay was nice, but like I didn't think it was like insane, and Picnic Bay wasn't really anything. And like seeing the koalas was good, but like we said, we have seen so many, but these ones were really cute.
Probably and they were proper wild.
Like the sunset the best.
Yeah, the sunset was
Yeah, and these ones were the most wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, solid 7.
Yeah, solid 8, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. So after Magnetic Island, then we continued north and we got to Mission Beach. So I thought Mission Beach was going to be like...
A built-up town,
yeah. I don't know if it was going to be similar to like Gold Coast, but like kind of that kind of vibe, I thought.
I didn't think it would be Gold Coast. Gold Coast is a whole city.
Okay. I thought it was going to be a beach town, but like that would be a proper town.
Yeah.
This was nothing.
Yeah, it's just
Mission
a beach.
Beach
it's like
literally
massive beach.
A huge beach. It went from, because it was like 3 beaches all joined together. My tandem skydiver told me how big the beach was whilst we were in the air.
Really? It's 14 kilometres long.
Yeah.
That's what I just Googled.
14 kilometres. It's just a huge beach, though. I did think it was going to be more like a built-up town, and it wasn't.
Yeah. So we went to like the south part, which I thought was way prettier than the actual main...
The main beach.
Yeah, it was really nice. So secluded, barely anyone there.
Yeah.
But just nice to just have a stroll on the beach. It's very like... paradise, like palm trees, and like the sand isn't like so white, but it's still
like the
beautiful.
Area is nice,
yeah, it's so tropical. And at Mission Beach, that's where we did our skydive,
yeah. So we booked it
we
the night before,
not the night before,
like the day we
the
woke
day
up the morning,
yeah.
And then following, like, we booked it within 24 hours of doing it,
it was crazy, but definitely. Mission Beach was the right place to do skydive. It was 100%. So gorgeous.
We were so lucky with the weather the next morning when we did it. Blue skies, like, it was just amazing. And with a beach landing. So the skydive was 15,000 feet, and then you had a beach landing right onto, like, the north end of Mission Beach.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
Amazing.
Yeah, so what would you rate Mission Beach as a whole then?
So I gave Mission Beach I'm going to change it last minute. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10?
Because of the skydiver.
Oh, wow.
Because I'd say, like, Mission Beach as a place is, like, a 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But then the skydive is actually, like, a 20 out of 10. So then I'm, like, average, we'll give it a 9.
Okay, I only gave Mission Beach a 7 out of 10 because I thought, like, oh, Mission Beach is nothing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful beach.
Does the skydive not bump it up?
Skydive 100% bumps up, but, like, you wouldn't go... I'm rating Mission Beach. You wouldn't go to Mission Beach if they didn't have the skydive there.
No.
Exactly.
Okay, if we take away the skydive, then it gets a 6.
Yeah.
If we include the skydive, it gets a 9.
Nice. And then after Mission Beach, we went to Atherton Tableland. So we kind of had to change our schedule around. We were hoping to be able to drive all the way to Cape Tribulation and Port Douglas, which is above Cairns, first.
And Daintree Rainforest.
And Daintree Rainforest, and then go back down to Cairns. But we checked the ferry times the day before, and turns out the one weekend that we wanted to go to,
they were doing some maintenance on the
ferry.
Yeah,
they were doing maintenance, so we couldn't take the ferry across on that day. So we had to give Stan back on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we just there
we,
was no way
we
for
couldn't
us to
extend
do
it anymore. We've got our flights booked.
So we decided to just take our time in Atherton Tableland, and it was absolutely
so
gorgeous.
Nice.
So literally, as soon as we finished our skydive, we drove
to Josephine
only an hour
Falls,
yeah. We went to 3 different waterfalls, or was it only 2?
We went to 2 waterfalls
two
on
waterfalls.
The first day, yeah.
We went to Josephine Falls
and then we went to Mila Mila.
Yeah, so Josephine Falls was so nice. Like really, really clear blue water, and then
like quite busy, and everyone was like going down a makeshift slide on the waterfall.
Yeah, like the rock is like just a perfect slide.
Yeah, it worked perfectly.
Yeah, it was just so nice.
And then Mila Mila is like the main one, which is like a giant waterfall. Like probably looks better than Josephine Falls,
mm-hmm.
But no one was swimming there.
I think it was probably the weather. What the reason why people weren't swimming, because it was like quite
chilly.
Yeah,
it was a bit drizzly, a bit chilly.
But like, it's where Herbal Essences has an advert. Like, there's just a woman and she flicks her hair at the falls. And so everyone, whenever you go to Mila Mila Falls, if you go on a tour, I'm sure they'd say,
yeah, they'd do, like, Herbal Essences the hair flick.
So, of course,
Sarah wanted to do the hair flick.
So we did that.
She got her picture.
And then we stayed the night in Atherton Tablelands. We just stayed in a campground. We stayed in such a nice campground. It was called Bernardio RV Camping.
It was so, so nice there.
It was through some, like, sugarcane fields. It was only $20 for the night.
I can't remember. They had,
like, a river where you could spot platypus.
Yeah, and they had, in by the camp kitchen area, like, a barriered off part where the
paddy melons
kept coming. You've missed out something big from that day. Where what? We stopped on the way to the...
We stopped.
I told Sarah, found a hidden gem.
We found the best hidden gem.
Yeah.
We went to the...
Curtain fig tree.
It was incredible.
It was a giant
tree.
The biggest tree you ever could see.
Yeah, and it was really, really cool. Definitely add that to your stop if you're in Atherton Tablelands, because it's great.
Sarah wanted to go back again.
Like, and then in the morning after our camping night,
we went to two lakes.
Yeah, we went to Lake Bereen, which, yeah, kind of just had a tea room and that was it. Like, there was, you could,
we
do
did a
walk,
a little bushwalk around the lake, a little rainforest walk,
and then there's Lake Eachem, which is really, really pretty. Such blue water, like, so turquoise, full of turtles.
The water was so, so cool. And yeah, we saw turtles there as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
And the water also has crocodiles in.
Yeah, there were people swimming around. And
you,
like,
can swim there.
Yeah, and there's, like, a sign that says, oh, crocodile lives in this water, just be careful. But
that's a bit scary. What was your rating?
So my rating for Atherton Tablelands was 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10, yeah.
I really like Atherton Tablelands. Like, I love waterfalls and rainforests.
Mm-hmm.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah. I really liked everything in Atherton Tablelands as well, but I gave it an 8 out of 10.
8? Why only 8?
I don't really know. I didn't like Lake Bereen.
Yeah, Lake Bereen wasn't great, but, like, the rest of it was amazing. Yeah. The fig tree.
The fig... I like Josephine Falls. Also, I think Mila Mila, cause I thought it was, like, the most... like, the best one in Atherton Tablelands, and I like Josephine.
I think so it's then... only big because of that advert, not because it's actually good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't know. I gave it an 8.
Fair enough. I just liked it because of the camping, I think. Like, that camp spot,
the camp spot was
so
really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so after Atherton Tablelands, we debated whether we should miss out Port Douglas, because what's the point in going all the way up there if you can't go to Cape Tribulation and Daintree Forest?
Yeah.
We thought we might as well just see the town.
Why not?
We didn't need to be in Cairns this early on.
And it was a sunny day, so, like, one of the things in Port Douglas is 4 Mile Beach, so we could just go and chill on the beach.
Yeah, whereas Cairns doesn't really have a beach. Well,
no.
Kind of, but not really.
Not really.
Yeah, so we went to Port Douglas, and that was really nice. It's
super pretty, like, driving in.
Palm trees all the way across the road. Mm. So pretty. And, like, quite resorty, like, probably way more touristy.
So many camp areas, like, caravan parks, tourist resorts, like, loads and loads.
Yeah. We were a little bit sad because we wanted our last night camping to be, like, completely out in the bush, like, don't have any facilities, we just have to, like, pee in the bush.
Just a nature reason.
But there's no camping spots that are like that near Port Douglas.
Or near Cairns, like, anywhere along that street stretch, we couldn't find any.
Yeah, so we had to stick with a caravan park, but we still, like, tried to cook without using their hobs.
We didn't use anything for that the night.
Yeah.
We did in the morning when it was pouring, but that evening we just sat under the stars.
Yeah. But yeah, Port Douglas was really nice. Like, the beach is quite nice, 4 Mile Beach.
Yeah, the area was quite nice.
Yeah. So what would you rate it?
I gave it a 7.
7? Yeah. Mine was 7.
Yeah, like, it was nice. It had a nice high street. We went around all the shops, got ice cream. The beach was nice.
Decent. On to tiffs and tales of the week.
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Who went first last week?
Well, last week was our question time and we kind of just spontaneously did it.
Okay. All right. Do you want to go first?
So, my tiff of the week is you're not good at dealing with sand.
And you, yeah.
And you're not good at dealing with mosquitoes. Those are the two things that you can't cope with in life.
I really can't. And
cope with in life. I would say mainly mosquitoes.
It's because of our time at Port Douglas when we were on 4 Mile Beach. So our towels were already damp just because they're constantly damp.
Everything was always damp in Stan.
But it's like every time we walk onto a beach, Hannah has this massive struggle with trying to lay down the towel in a way where she doesn't get sand on it. And every time...
There's sand everywhere.
There's sand everywhere. And I don't know how you do it, because all you have to do is put the towel down quickly and sit on it, and you're fine.
I think it's because I'm holding things.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to put them on the sand, so I'm trying to put it down with, like, not my full capability, and then trying to put the bag on top of the towel, and it just becomes messy.
Yeah.
And you're busy doing yours, so then we don't help. We don't get any support.
Fair enough. But, yeah, you're not good with dealing with sand, and then you, like, complain. I was complaining, too, because I was covered in sand, too, but...
Yeah, you complain when you're covered in sand, but, yeah, I don't like being...
But I tend to be covered in sand less than you are.
Yeah, I'm definitely more sandy, and I don't like sand.
No one likes sand.
Yeah.
And also, this isn't your fault, because you just get bitten more, but you can't cope with mosquito bites.
I really can't cope with bites.
And... Actually,
I'm literally sitting here itching.
This is my biggest tip. It's your scratching.
Yeah. You really hate my scratching.
I hate your scratching.
I'm literally sitting here scratching because I'm so itchy right now.
Yeah.
Those are my tips. I get bitten so much more than you. You have like 2.
No, I counted 9 on this leg yesterday.
Right, but they don't seem to hurt you or itch you at all. My whole legs and my arms are like so itchy right now.
Yeah, what can I say? Brazilian skin.
What can I say? I've got sweeter blood than you.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. My tip with you is from Friday night.
Friday night. What's Friday night? Oh, in the nice camping area.
Well, Friday night, we were going to bed. I was very tired. I was asleep. And then Sarah decided she wasn't tired. And because Sarah wasn't tired and Sarah was awake, I had to be awake and wasn't allowed to go to sleep. So then we were up for ages while Sarah kept talking to me and don't even know what we were doing in the end. And by which point, then she was tired. Now I was wide awake after I'd been kept up for another hour chatting, even though I wanted to go to bed. And then I couldn't sleep for ages.
I'm sorry. I was really, really restless.
Yeah, you were really restless.
I don't know why. I was just... We had such a great day on Friday.
We did have a brilliant day on Friday.
And...
Was it that day?
It was the skydive. It was the waterfalls. It was the tree. Yeah. It was everything.
Yeah, the tree.
It was a great day and I just couldn't switch off.
But the great day had made me very tired.
No, I was still buzzing.
And it was late.
I was just looking at all my photos of the skydive.
Which I had already seen.
I was like, wow.
I didn't need to see them again.
Yeah, but it was just so cool. It was incredible. I'm sorry. Yeah, when I'm awake, you've got to stay awake too.
You can't be alone.
You know when you just need to talk and say stuff in order to make you let go of everything of the day?
Yeah, and I had to listen and reply and be alive and awake.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
On to our tales of the week.
So you've heard about our skydive. But you haven't really heard about our skydive.
What else is there
There's
to tell
so much
them?
More to say. So, as we said, we did book it the day before.
Yeah.
And this was because we were waiting for the weather to get better. So we really wanted the day to not be cloudy. Well, as in, like, we didn't mind if it was a bit cloudy, but we didn't want it to be raining. So this is why we booked it basically the day before. And also just, like, if you book it too much in advance, there's too much time to get... stressed up
to panic
it.
And for Sarah to question the death that could be coming.
Not that I didn't do that anyway.
There's so much death chat.
But yeah, so we booked it, and oh, actually, great tip, you can save yourself $60 by booking on Backpacker Deals, so that saves you $40, and then you save yourself $20 on the photos and the video by calling up in advance and saying that you want the photos and the video
and booking in advance.
So do that. Yes, we booked the skydive. And then the night before, I started getting a bit stressy.
A bit panicked.
Not too much.
But a little bit. What happens if I die tomorrow? It's been a great day anyway.
It was more of should I tell my parents or not?
Yeah.
Because
would they panic?
I was worried that my parents were going to panic about me skydiving. And I didn't want to make them panic because it's fine.
Which mine did a bit.
And my mum said to me before I came to Australia, she was like, don't, if you're going to do anything scary, don't tell me, because I'll just stress after you've done it. And then I'm like, but what if I die? And I haven't told her that I'm going skydiving. She'll then be really upset that I haven't told her.
It's okay, I had all the funeral instructions.
Anyway.
I would have carried out my job well.
So this whole dilemma was going on, and then in the morning was when it really...
Yeah, when you really, really panicked and really contemplated your death.
We were having showers before.
We had pancakes.
Oh, we had pancakes before.
We watched the sun rise over the beach because we stayed at a campground over the beach, which was where I got really bitten. We watched the sun rise over the beach and we had our final pancakes in Stan.
Yeah, which I wouldn't have minded if it had been my final meal. Because pancakes are a great way to end.
And then we went to the skydive, and walking there after we parked, you were really stressing and you were like, so I want this song played and you have to make sure everyone's having a good time at my funeral, talking about her funeral, which wasn't going to happen, but she was definitely making me more panicked.
I don't know how you went. I mean, you've done skydiving before.
But also, we were doing it.
I genuinely thought it was, 50-50 chance if I was going to die or not.
50-50.
That's what I thought.
If you were going to die.
Yeah, but I was
preparing
to die. If
they kill people every single day, they're not going to be allowed to stay open.
But it's more that you always hear about freak accidents.
Yeah, Sarah had just read to me the day before about a freak accident that had happened of two tandems colliding at Mission Beach.
But it's not just that. It's because, okay, so we went to the Blue Mountains, ages ago.
Yeah.
But, a week later, there was a news story of this family.
A landslide where,
this family got killed.
4 out of 5 people, I think, died.
Mm-hmm. This family got killed 4 days or, a few days after we had walked that exact track.
Yeah.
And that petrified me.
Yeah, there are freak things.
So I was like, well, I can't be certain that I'm still going to be alive after this skydive. I need to prepare.
This should have been my tip. I can't deal with these morbid thoughts. And they happen a lot.
No, but I feel like I'm very prepared now. If I die tomorrow, I'll be happy.
Because you've skydived.
I'm at peace with it now.
You're at peace with death?
Yeah.
What, because of skydiving?
Because I think it made me contemplate it a bit more.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I'm happy. I've lived my life. I'm happy.
Okay.
You don't like this chat.
No, I
you
don't.
You can't deal with it.
I can't.
You have too much of a fear of death.
Yeah.
You need to sort it out.
It's unnecessary.
It's not unnecessary.
Why do we need to contemplate our death?
No, I'm not saying that.
I don't need to give you all my funeral instructions.
No, I'm saying you need to not be scared of death. Because
okay.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. I know it will happen, but I don't need to think of it happening tomorrow.
Yeah, but you've got to be prepared.
Shut up.
Anyway.
Right.
Enough of the morbid chat.
Back to the skydiving. We got there.
We got there, and then we met the guy. I met my guy, you met your guy.
Correct. We watched a video.
Yeah.
It was so relaxed, the whole process. We literally arrived, signed a form, watched a 5-minute video, met our guys, and put a harness on.
Yeah. It was
nothing to it. It was so fast.
I thought it was going to be, in the UK, they have so many rules and regulations.
So many rules and regulations,
so much safety.
And so many things that you have to watch and learn before you're allowed to do it, and so many safety even equipment. Whereas here, you were literally just in your shorts and top and a harness.
Yep.
And then on a bus to the airport terminal.
It just
place.
Happens so quickly.
Yeah.
They just say hello, my name's Tom. I'm taking you skydiving.
My name's called Derek.
And then 1 second you're on the floor, the next second you're in the plane and you're 15,000 feet in the air and then they just go, whoop, let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah, they're literally like, mine was just like 3, 2, 1 spaghetti and that was it. We were out.
Yeah. But it was incredible.
It was amazing.
Like, honestly, the most amazing
thing. Like, you're free-falling over the Great Barrier Reef. You get to see the whole of Mission Beach and the whole of the reef. And saw like a turtle.
Yeah, like my guy was just like pointing out and being like, "Can you see a turtle? Look at that! Look at that!" And
my guy was more interested in the sailboat.
And like they just like twirl you around like quite a lot. Like it was amazing.
It was insane.
Like I loved it. Like I feel like as soon as we got on the plane, I was like, I feel so chill and so ready.
So relaxed. Like my guy Derek had jumped like over 6,000 times and free falls for, I think he said like 8 hours or something.
Yeah, they do like they used to do 7 to 10 jumps a day.
Yeah, they now do like 4 because of COVID, but they're doing it. Like literally as soon as we landed and we got back to the skydive center,
they were on it.
They were getting ready for the next jump.
Yeah. It's
just like crazy.
It is just crazy. Honestly, the best experience.
Like so worth it. Like You want to do it again?
100%.
I'm ready for my third jump.
But I'd only want to do it somewhere where it's worth looking at the view, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad we did do it in Cannes. I'm glad we did it at Mission Beach.
Yeah, me too. I'm so glad we did it at Mission Beach. Tale number two is we had to give Stan back on Sunday, which was super sad.
So we actually stayed in Port Douglas for like an hour. We went to like a market, Sunday market, and then we drove an hour back to Cannes. We had a lot of jobs to do.
Like, yeah, so
it was a total stress.
It was a bit of a stress, and like the way we did it was just amusing.
Yeah, so we decided that the best option was to drop off
everything. We needed to pack the van up and it was raining out, so I suggested going to a multi-story car park. So we just went to this random multi-story car park.
We went to Cannes Central Shopping Centre.
Yeah,
and just like
literally empties the van.
Pulled out everything that we had. There was like things in like every single
in
hole.
Any crevice of sand. We had put
stuff.
Something.
So we had to like just gather all of our belongings and then try and sort them, and then cleaning
the van was the faff.
Yeah, like we spent hours cleaning that van.
Yeah, so we took the stuff to Gilligan's first, which was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped off all our stuff in the storage.
Put it in storage.
So that then we had like nothing in the van, so we just needed to try and clean it. And
we had so much stuff. We had like 2 whole bin bags of just washing, and our 2 suitcases, and our 2 backpacks.
More than 2.
And our 2 extra backpacks that have camping equipment, yep. And food and like all that stuff. Like, just imagine.
Just so much stuff.
So much stuff that we now have to cut down by half because we cannot do this in Asia.
No, and we can't take it on a plane.
Yeah.
And then we had to the faff of having to clean Stan.
Yeah.
So we had to go and have the outside cleaned and the inside vacuumed, and they told us where to go. But I thought it was going to be someone doing it for you, which would have been less faff and less stress. But no, you had to do it yourself, which was fun to begin with. We thought it was going to be fun with the high power jet wash, but then
it was fun. But I think
it was fun.
In a stressed
but
mood.
Then also we had like it wasn't all coming off.
No, so Stan was very, very dirty. We've like, had him for 6 whole weeks, 5 weeks of actual driving.
Yeah, and like we've taken good care of him. Like we've tried to.
Yeah,
like. He was a bit bashed and
like
battered.
You take him to campsites and like you stay in like remote places.
He had a few bumps and he's had a bit of wear and tear, let's say.
Yeah, like we tried so hard to make the marks come off, but some of them were just not coming.
And we did a pretty good job though.
Yeah, like we tried so hard.
It looked like the inside looked good. Like we wiped. We ended up going around the whole outside with wipes
yeah.
to try and get off any of the little marks.
Yeah.
We wiped the entire inside after vacuuming.
There was still so much sand inside, though.
There
like, even after we vacuumed, there was sand.
But it looked so much better than like a few hours prior.
Yeah, but anyway, after like 2 hours, well, not 2 hours. It was probably like an hour at the wash station.
Yeah, a solid hour.
We like dropped it back. We're like, there's nothing else we can do. We got to just leave it here.
Fingers crossed.
It's like a Sunday, so like it was a no contact drop off. So we literally just parked the van, put the keys down a chute, and that was the end of it.
That was the end of it, and then we just had to hope. And then luckily today,
this morning,
we've had the email saying Stan has been given back in great condition.
I know, we were so proud.
I was so, so proud.
We definitely had extra bumps, but it's
there
okay.
were so many bumps.
But yeah, that was like just the nightmare that was taking him back. Like, I feel like maybe we should have done like a wash halfway through, like 2.5 weeks in.
What,
to
like
keep on
cleaner?
Top of the cleaning.
Mm.
Maybe.
Mm. It was fine.
It was fine in the end, but yeah.
Super sad to not have Stan anymore. Miss him a lot.
Yeah, it is really sad. Lessons learned of the week?
Yep.
Our first lesson that we learned was that you can do Magnetic Island by bus.
Yeah.
We've kind of already touched this. But
yeah, but not like, I wouldn't say everywhere is like so easily accessible. By public transport, by bus, but like
the main places,
the buses around Magnetic Island are great. Like they stop at all the main places that you want to go to. They actually, like, the bus drivers are so lovely that they kept asking people every time they got on the bus where,
like,
they
where
wanted to go, what, like where they wanted to get off and everything. And they basically, it felt like they were just a taxi service.
Yeah,
they would just take people right to there.
They dropped the school kids back home. They dropped, like,
yeah,
everyone
they just
at
dropped
each
them
hotel.
Right back to outside their place. So the buses around there were, like,
amazing.
Great. And it's, like, $7 for the entire day.
So worth it.
It's really worth it.
Yeah. Our second lesson that we learned was that Mission Beach is tiny.
Yeah, like, surprisingly tiny. Like, I was surprised by how small just the whole area was. Not the beach. Like we said, Mission Beach is massive. But
there's no town. There's no town. There's probably
there's
like
nothing.
One hostel. There's like no restaurant. Like there was nothing.
There was literally nothing. There was the skydive place and the
and
beach.
That was like,
yeah. There's like no town. Like you couldn't get an ice cream.
No, that's true. We couldn't.
You
get
couldn't
an ice
get
cream.
An ice cream. There was nothing.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind if you are stopping at Mission Beach. Don't stay there.
Yeah, because
for
it's
more
definitely.
Than a day.
I'm sure it's a stop on Greyhound bus. So.
Yeah.
Final lesson for the week is that DFO.
Okay, so today has been a shopping day in Cairns because
Sarah needed a bikini.
No, because it's been not great weather. So, if you're in Cairns and you want a good bargain and you love a good bargain, go to DFO.
It's not just in Cairns. They have DFOs
everywhere, to be fair.
Yeah, they definitely had one in like Sydney and Melbourne. They're just like a bit further out. Like they're not normally like in the main city centre. So like we got a bus there today, but
so worth it.
It was incredibly cheap.
Like we went to it was Quiksilver, which has all the main branded swimwear
for Roxy.
Roxy, amazing. Like I got 3 pieces of swimwear for $30, which is only £17, and the actual value of all the 3 things that I bought would have been $260 in total.
Yeah.
So I saved myself $230.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It was ridiculous. Like, even the woman, like, at the till was like, yeah, this deal's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane. And, like, at all the shops, like, Cotton On, which is, like, a massive chain around Australia, everything in that shop was, like, $5, $10. Like, everything was just so cheap in the whole of DFO.
Yeah, so go to DFO. And if you want any swimwear, branded swimwear, like, do it. Because swimwear in Australia is amazing.
They also had, like, shoe shops there. And you could have got Birkenstocks there for sure. But we didn't go in. But, like, all of their shoes would have been so cheap.
Yeah. Lesson learned. Brilliant. Now for our highs and our lows. What's your high?
Surprise, surprise. My high of the week is just Friday in general.
Mm.
So it's the skydive, because how could it not be? Like, it was amazing, amazing, amazing experience. But then also just, like, the whole of Friday
was amazing.
Such a good day. Like, skydive... Go right back.
Sunrise.
Sunrise, pancakes, skydive. Josephine Falls with a swim and a slide. Mila Mila, a tree, an amazing campsite.
You forgot also, before the tree, we went to the forest.
Oh my god, I forgot the turtles.
The turtles forest.
That was great
really
too.
Fun as well.
Yeah.
We were having a great time doing our own tour.
We went to Miranda Rainforest and you see turtles. Yeah, loved the turtles too.
Yeah.
The whole day. Great day.
I agree. My high was also Friday. I was going to say specifically the skydive, but now that I'm thinking about it, I was so happy at sunset when we were driving to the campsite.
Yeah.
I was like, this has been the best day ever.
And then we took some photos at sunset.
Yeah,
that was
really
fun.
Cute photos.
And we didn't see the platypus, but
It was a great day.
It was great.
And we saw stars that night again. It was a great day.
It was just an all-round solid day.
Yeah, very happy.
Nice matching highs.
Mm-hmm. What about our lows? Are they going to be matching?
Do you want to go first?
My low was giving Stan back.
Same. Giving back Stan. I was so upset.
I think it was just the whole stress. I was really stressed when we were cleaning Stan.
Yeah.
Like, I was way more stressed than you.
You were more stressed. I was like, we've tried our best. We can't do any more. It's like, as clean as it's going to be. Sarah was like, well, I've got to get all of these little dots.
I didn't want to be charged like $200, $300 when we had tried so hard. Yeah. And like, I didn't see it as, like, if they had done that to us, I would have been so upset.
Yeah, I would have been really annoyed. So that's why I was like so stressed.
But anyway, and also just like coming to a hostel and like, you have no privacy again, and adjusting to the lack of privacy and adjusting to the messy kitchens.
Yeah.
It's like, hostels are fun, but so different to being in a van and having your own time and space and everything.
Yeah, and everything. I feel like maybe...
And just realising we're not going to have that again for 3 months.
Yeah. What? Is it more your low because of the stress?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so mine's then different slightly because it's my low because of the other things that you've just said. So, like, yeah, the whole clean and everything, like, was annoying, was stressful, but, like, it didn't get me, like, down, I wouldn't say. Like, I was really sad to say bye to Stan and to have to pack everything away and not have its own place anymore. Mm. And to leave it and, like, not have... it's just a comfort. Like, we got used to it. We really enjoyed the camping life, and now to not have it is so sad. And to be like, yeah, I like the hostels, and like, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be an adjustment.
Very different. On to our interesting facts. So, do you have interesting facts?
I have an interesting fact.
You have what?
Do you want to start?
I'll start, because mine is from Magnetic Island, which was the beginning of the week.
Okay.
So, do you know how Magnetic Island became Magnetic Island?
No.
No. So, good old James Cook, the one who did the Whit Sundays, I think.
Oh, the one who went on
the Whit Sundays.
Whit Sunday when it was actually Whit Monday.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently, James Cook believed the magnetic compass on his ship, the Endeavour, was affected by the island, so he called it Magnetic Island.
Interesting.
That's why it's called Magnetic Island.
Very nice.
Your turn.
So, mine is a little fact for the people. So, it's actually a fact from you, that Satinash is the Aboriginal word for orange.
It's not.
I have the truth. So, this comes from when we were... This is actually from Miranda, right?
Yeah.
Where we went to see the Miranda turtles in Atherton Tablelands. We did like a little rainforest walk around there, and they had all the trees labelled. And Sarah was telling stories of what all the names of the trees meant.
I was being a brilliant tour guide.
Great tour guide, because there was a tour happening, but we went on it.
So I was pretending to be the tour guide. And I knew all the history of the trees.
Of every tree. And one of the trees was a satinash tree. And Sarah said it's the Aboriginal word for orange. And the tree inside, what was the word for inside?
I don't know.
The tree inside was orange. Anyway, the actual tree, the common name for it is the Syzygium tree. And it has nothing to do with being orange.
Oh, well, I thought it was a very good guess.
Great guess.
Yeah.
Any more interesting facts?
Because we've given him back Stan now, I was thinking, how many miles and how many kilometres have we actually driven in Stan, and just overall
for the whole of Australia.
I had a quick look when we were in Stan the other day. You were like, what are you doing? I was looking at our piece of paper to see how many what the mileage was when we first picked up Stan and what it was then, and we had driven about 9,300 kilometres just in Stan.
Wow.
So that was five weeks worth, and that equates to, which I think is wrong because I'm so confused right now, but that says that it equates to 5,775 miles.
Okay.
And that's just in Stan. But I worked out the mileage from Melbourne to Cairns.
Yeah.
With like a few stops that we did, and that says that it's only 2,400 miles. But we did Sydney, Cairns, 5,775 miles, which is more than double what the whole thing is supposed to be. So this doesn't make any sense.
So how much do you think we have driven?
Well, so then I thought, let's look at my Google.
But we did go in and out a bit.
My Google history tells me how much I've done. So I added up each month.
What do you mean
February,
your Google history?
Like my Google Maps tells me everything that I've done, how much I've walked, how much I've driven, how much I've been on a ferry. Spent 15 minutes on a ferry
in
like one day or something, I don't know. Anyway, I added up all the mileage from each month, February, March, April, May.
Yeah.
Grand total of 4,800 miles.
Wow.
Which is not 5,775 miles.
I'm confused. I'm so confused.
I think that one is the accurate one. 4,800 miles.
That's from Sydney to Cairns that we've driven.
Yep. And apparently, we've spent 263 hours driving.
How many?
263
hours driving.
Do you know how many days that is? I'm going to take you out of your misery. 11 days of solid driving.
Wow.
That's crazy. I'm not sure that's right.
11 days of solid driving? No, I could see that. I'd say, like, most days we drove, like, 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
And then some days we drove, like, there was a couple of days that we did, like, a lot more.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are all our facts and figures about our driving.
So now we're in Cairns. We are here for the next
3 days.
3 days. And Thursday evening, we are off
to
Bali.
Finally.
How I feel about leaving Australia.
Yeah, a bit sad, but also I'm kind of ready.
I am looking forward to, like, a change and Bali now and Southeast Asia and seeing what it has to offer.
Yeah, but before that, we're doing a tour tomorrow of the Daintree Forest because we couldn't do it in Stan. So we're doing Daintree Forest, Cape Tribulation, Port Douglas again, but just a quick stopover. So anyway, we'll see you. In Bali.
You'll hear from us in Bali.
If you want to stay tuned, follow our podcast on Spotify and
leave us a 5-star review. You can follow us on Instagram at the Traveling Two Podcast. And
if you have any questions, any suggestions, anything that you want to say, email us at thetravelingtwopod@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in your ears again next week in Bali.
Bye.